This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to another episode of Extreme Resurrection. I'm James Gruenberg, alongside with Michael Cook. Michael, how are you doing tonight?
Doing okay. Today I got my Bill Gates Microsoft chip embedded in me, so for the first one, I'm ready to go.
That's great, Mike. Good to hear. I haven't gotten my shot yet, but the registration for, you know, everyone 16 and older is coming out April 1st.
Yeah, and it wasn't easy to get, but hopefully everyone gets theirs, and we'll be back to somewhat of normalcy very soon.
Yep. So tonight, Mike, we have a very special show, I would like to say. This is the show where we finally see CM Punk debut.
Yes, and a return of somebody else.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, we do. We have two returns from the two shows that we're recording tonight. So let's jump right into our first one. ECW from the Hammerstein Ballroom, August 1st, 2006. Now, Mike, what were the ratings for this show?
For this show, it was a 2.4 rating, which, you know, is average for today, for today's standards. And 2.4 on Sci-Fi is probably pretty good for back in the day.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, they just want ratings, and you know, 2.4 seems okay. This is good. You know, this is what our viewership wants. Oh, and also, Mike. So 20 years ago, during this time period, 20 years ago, since it is March, let's bring this up as well. 20 years ago on Friday was the last WCW Nitro in 2001. On March 26, 2001, WCW Nitro ended, and WCW World Championship Wrestling closed its doors forever on the Turner Network. You know, WWE would, you know, buy them out, and a lot of the WCW superstars would be coming over to the WWE. But this really is 20 years ago. It is the last time there was real competition in professional wrestling. ECW back in 2001 would close its doors forever under Paul Heyman's branch, and WCW would go out of business as well. And it's been 20 years, and now 20 years forward, someone else has the WWE Network in their hands.
That is true. I mean, I remember it like it was yesterday, just seeing, you know, throughout the show, McMahon saying, you know, who he was going to keep, who he wasn't going to keep, but seeing Shane McMahon walk out, no one expected that. That was a great, like, swerve.
Yes, and someone had a very good point. It did not need to close Monday Night Raw. It needed to close Nitro.
Well, that's what it did.
Yeah, yeah. But I said it was like, should it have gone last on Raw? And then I was like, no, it closed Nitro, and it gave WCW and Monday Night Nitro a happy ending. And to be totally honest, Mike, I wasn't paying attention at the time when he did it, but I heard the stories. I rewatched it over and over. It gets me goosebumps every time when Shane McMahon is appearing on Nitro.
Yeah, I mean, it was I enjoyed it personally. Like, I thought it was a great show. Especially, it was fitting to end with, to have Flair and Sting. But as it turns out, it changed everything.
Yeah. And even for Paul Heyman, who was actually on color commentary that night as well. So everything changed for him. He was once the owner of ECW, and on that particular night, he was the color commentator.
Yes.
Yes. So, Mike, we start off with a wrestling match. No promo in this one, an actual wrestling match. And I have to say, this show is a really great show, and for the obvious reasons, but I think the undercard in this show is way better than the main event. And we'll get to talking the main our main event when we get there. Well, we have Tommy Dreamer and the Sandman versus Test and Mike Knox in an Extreme Rules match.
Yeah, I mean, it was okay, but what was good is it finally, they're all having a story. They got into it. I mean, it was you figured it'd be kind of predictable. But some of some of the bumps were pretty gruesome. It got interesting once Heyman's security team, which is that what they were called this week? They'll be called a different thing next week, but and it turns out they were the Basham brothers.
Yes, they were. I was also going to bring that up. They are called the Riot Squad. I believe they were called that since the beginning, like when Paul Heyman turned on Rob Van Dam and got his own security. He called them that from the start. So we have Tommy and Mike start off. A melee brawl ensues. A dropkick from the Sandman to Test. Mike Knox slams Tommy onto the guardrail. A double team on Sandman. So Test is going to use the cane on Sandman, but Tommy makes a save. A DDT to Knox from Tommy. A White Russian leg sweep to Test. Then they bring in the barbed wire board. It's brought out. Test canes both Sandman and Tommy. Tommy is busted open. So this is really a good hardcore match, even Tommy bleeding and everything. And we're not having that SmackDown crowd. We're having the crowd a crowd of ECW fans only, basically, because SmackDown was taping at the Izod Center and ECW was on its own here.
I mean, they were very. The crowd, for one thing, was so hot for this, and until the last match. And when we get there, we'll talk about that. But I mean, the crowd,
Yeah.
everything.
Yep, they were, and I was loving it too. So then so Test canes both Sandman and Tommy. Tommy's busted open. Then Test goes into the ring post. Test gets hit by a garbage can. Sandman is about to hit Mike Knox, but then Kelly asks him not to. She gets in front of Mike saying, "Don't hit Mike, please. Please don't hit Mike." And then, so Sandman throws Kelly out of the way to cane Mike. And then, so Mike runs away. And then Sandman chases after Mike Knox. So they're gone. And then Tommy gives Kelly a spanking, which I thought was great. I don't know how. And before he gives the spanking, they start dancing together. What did you think of that segment where Tommy
I
and
laughed.
Kelly got into it?
I laughed, but that wouldn't fly today, but
It's not fun. Hey.
it was entertaining and funny.
Yeah, it was. Out comes the Riot Squad with Paul Heyman. They throw Tommy into the barbed wire. And then Tess does it again afterwards. And then Tess does the swinging neck breaker for the win. Mike, I gave this 2 stars and I was really impressed. But I think that they're really pushing for Tess to be the muscle man here and Mike to be the dramatic girlfriend, jealous boyfriend guy, you know?
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I gave it 2 stars also.
Oh, nice. Nice. So we're on a good, we're both agreeing finally. Then we get, now we get Sabu and Paul Heyman in the back. Sabu wants the Big Show again. Paul Heyman declines to have the Big Show versus Sabu. We'll get there when we get there, right, Mike? You know, yeah. I mean, they're really pushing it, though. Like, they're doing a lot of pushing here. And I'll get to my thoughts on build-ups on ECW as we move along.
Yeah, but the first thing you got to do, everyone in the room, like, because the entire locker room was basically back there, and they all turned their back on Heyman.
Yes, that's a good point. That's also a good pickup, Mike. I forgot that part as well. My bad. So there you go, Mike. I do the reading, and then, you know, you help me out with the backup, and I appreciate it, partner.
No problem. Yeah. Before we move on, though, let's just a couple notes on some dark matches, because some of these guys that we're going to mention haven't debuted yet, and we're going to see promos later on. But Balls Mahoney beat Rene Dupree.
So they were on the circuit. Okay.
London and Kendrick beat the FBI, Stevie Richards over Roadkill, and C.W. Anderson over Shannon Moore.
Wow. C.W. Anderson being Shannon Moore. That's an interesting one. And I mean, he's going to be on one of our following shows on our next episode, I believe.
Well, it didn't say on how. So I don't know if it was like a DQ or anything like that, but I mean,
So now it is time. One more CM Punk promo says the wait is over. Tonight is his opportunity to wrestle for ECW. And we have Just Incredible versus CM Punk. Mike, I actually remember watching this, and I thought CM Punk was really cool. I think the tattoos are what got me.
Yeah, definitely a different presentation. Something that you can tell he had to start in ECW because he wasn't McMahon's type. And to have Just Incredible, someone who's established as his opponent, was a good idea.
And this is where having ECW not be tapped in with SmackDown here, where SmackDown is being recorded somewhere else and ECW is live here. This is where this shows that Paul Heyman wasn't ready to give CM Punk up to the WWE audience. He wanted to give CM Punk to the hardcore ECW fans.
Yes.
And I don't think CM Punk, in my opinion, was ready to be exposed yet to the full WWE audience.
Yeah. I mean, I had only heard of him basically passing. Like, I was not into Ring of Honor or anything like that. So, for me, CM Punk was like a new face.
Yes. So heavy chance of CM Punk. CM Punk from the start throughout the whole entire match, and I put in my notes the fans must know him from Ring of Honor, and these are the hardcore fans. Hammerstein Ballroom has hardcore fans, and they must watch Ring of Honor or even CM Punk in TNA Impact before he came to WWE as well. Because they are just on fire for him.
You know, I do remember, like, maybe 1 or 2 matches in TNA. Because I did watch TNA when it was on TV for a little while. So, he falls in those lines of AJ Styles, at the time, AJ Styles, Bryan Danielson.
Christopher Daniels and all those. Like, he got Christopher Daniels style, too, in TNA.
Yeah. Basically, the best workers that weren't in WWE at the time.
Yep. Yeah, so... So a leg takedown by Punk. He goes for an early pin, a two count only. Punk goes for a diving leg drop, but is slammed by Justin. Shots to the back by Justin. A suplex countered by Punk. Three vertical suplexes by Justin, but he only gets a two count. I thought Justin showed good wrestling spots here, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was a great opponent for CM Punk's first television match. You know, maybe the EC equivalent to Sean Waltman at the time. Like,
oh, you stole it from me, Mike. You stole what I was going to say. And I thought, you know, I bet you he'll probably have the same thing I have, Mike. And I was thinking the same thing. I said, if Justin Credible is the guy Paul Heyman trusts, and if Justin says yes or no, Paul Heyman is going to make the other superstar a star forever if Justin Credible said yes. Just as back in the 1990s, if you couldn't have a match with 1-2-3 Kid, get out of the business right now.
Yeah.
If Sean Waltman says you stink, get out right now. That's so funny, Mike. So then we get a flying clothesline by Punk, but again, another two count, a flying knee and bulldog to Justin. And this one I thought was really good, like the flying knee and then the bulldog to Justin. He took it, and then the Anaconda vice grip for the submission by CM Punk. I also gave this 2 stars as well.
I gave it 2.5. I actually liked it. It was a good match. It was a good opener for CM Punk. The crowd, like you said before, the crowd was really into him. And I mean, who would have thought, you know, what he would explode into?
I know, and this is the start for him, and this is projectiling up for CM Punk. And From like, it almost felt like from this day forward, everything's going to go up for Punk. There might be some bumps in the road for him, but it just felt like everything was on the up and up. Whether or not Paul was going to be there the whole time, because we know it happens in December of 06, it just felt like everything was just on the up and up for CM Punk.
Yeah. Now, next, though, was the return I was talking about, the return of the Brooklyn Brawler. Oh,
yes, I know. And really, like, so it's the Brooklyn Brawler versus a returning Kurt Angle. I have to say, Mike, I don't think this should have been a match at all.
I wouldn't have considered it a match. I mean, Angle. And you would have never thought what's going to be happening very soon with Angle by watching this. I mean, Angle was a beast here.
Yeah. So the Brooklyn Brawler comes out and he says, I'm going to be the ECW champion. And I'm literally watching this. So, all right. So the point is that it's a takedown by Angle. It's a quick ankle lock by Kurt. Brawler gets the ropes, a headbutt to the Brawler, right into another ankle lock, and Kurt Angle wins the match. If I had to do this all over again, have Brooklyn Brawler say that, but then just have Taz come up from behind and give him the Taz mission. Do not put Kurt Angle in this match.
It was good. It was good for a quick blowing them out.
And they even said it too, like they were like, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Again, like I said, Mike, I felt this could have just been redone, but we know where Angle's heading towards. I don't know if this was a moment for Kurt to be like, is this what I'm getting subjected to? Like, do I want to like quit or stuff? But we'll get there when we get there. I gave it a quarter star, Mike.
I gave it a dud, but it was still fun to watch Angle go nuts.
All right, Mike, and now it is time for our main event.
Oh, hold on. You forgot Ariel and the little promo from Ariel and Kevin Thorne.
Oh, yeah. Right, I didn't have it written down. I'm sorry, Mike.
Basically just Kevin Thorne saying that he'll have the blood of everyone in ECW. Nothing special.
Well, I mean, he does look good in the ring. He's already had Guido's blood and Balls Mahoney's blood.
That is true.
So now we get our main event. And Mike, I must say, I think this might be a top contender for worst match of 2006. Not in ECW in general, just in the WWE year of 2006.
I mean,
we have a Big Show versus Batista for the ECW title.
Yeah. I mean, the fans hated it.
Oh, yes, they did. The crowd said, you both suck, you both suck. And we got the boring chants as well. So then we get, we're getting Sabu chants because, you know, they're going to build up to the Sabu versus Big Show eventually. So then the fight goes to the outside. That's when we get our commercial. We get a then we get a clothesline to Batista from Big Show. And then the fans were chanting, change the channel. So I thought the fans were really funny. They're brutal, but they were funny in this match with the change the channel chants.
Yeah, I mean, it was the hardcores. I mean, it was continuing to get that one main roster star on. I mean, I bet you that had a little something to do with the 2.4 rating, is that they've been having a main roster star every time. I mean, they've advertised it. I mean, they've gone through Flair, Taker, Cena's been on, right. Edge's been on, and now Batista. However, this was just...
ugh. Yeah. So then we have a suplex to the Big Show by Batista, a spear to the Big Show, a choke slam by the Big Show. Batista kicks out. Big Show gets the belt, but he misses. A spine buster to Big Show. He counters the Batista bomb, and then he hits Batista with the belt for the DQ. So Batista wins by disqualification, but he doesn't get the belt, and Big Show retains the title.
At this point, I think people are just upset that Batista has the title. Big Show has the title. And, I mean, you can still see it has... See, I don't know if it all has all of McMahon's hands in it, and it's maybe just Sci-Fi saying, hey, you know, we still need a main roster star. Don't forget, this is NBC Universal... Still, we don't know this for sure, but they might have been slipping a word in here and there, saying, hey, you know, until the ratings get up, you know, we got to have at least something established. But with that said, I gave this match a half a star only for the crowd. It was just awful.
Yes, I gave it a half a star too, and it's like 3 stars for the crowd. You know, the crowd wins and was my favorite. So if there's an MVP, it's the crowd this night. But I'll also give it to CM Punk as well.
Yeah, You know, I'll go with you. I'll go with you on that. We'll give it to Punk. Overall, I would say the show is a 6 out of 10. And that's mainly, I mean, with the crowd was so into it, made it more interesting. But that last, I mean, you take off that last match, you're talking like a 7, 7.5, but.
Yeah, but we're also not done with the match, but it's okay. Sabu comes out, throws a chair in Big Show's face, and then does an Arabian facebuster, knocking the Big Show into a table. So I thought this sent the fans home happy that the Big Show got his butt kicked by Sabu.
Yeah, especially after what they just watched.
Yes, indeed. Well, Mike, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to cover ECW from the August 8th edition. We'll be right back with more Extreme Resurrection.
No!
Kettle, but time is up, it's a damn good time. City to city, I'm
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to another to Extreme Resurrection. Now, Mike, before we get started on our next ECW episode, I have to plug the other great content that is being produced on the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed. On Talkin' WCW, it's, quote, Talkin' WCW, nevermore. As Jenny, Tim, and Greg check out Raven's best matches in WCW. On Pro Wrestling Love, the show reaches episode 18 as Marty and Mike continue their list of the 25 best matches from Japan in the 2000s. On the newest episode of Crawlonology, Neil and Dave talk head shrinkers and Rob Walker as the build to WrestleMania 9 continues. The newest special relations episode has Callum, Ben, and Rory talking everything from Twitch, Stephanie, Chris Jericho, and more. Sky and Dr. G are excited on the newest NWA Saturday special as they recap the first new episode of NWA Power in over a year. You can find all this content on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. Just search Place to Be Wrestling Network. You can rate and review and subscribe to us. Also, we have the Place to Be Nation Pop Feed. It's all about pop culture. We have the best in TV, movies, comics, trivia shows, and so much more. Jennifer Smith is always in the Jenny position with her unique takes on pop culture and life. Her feed is loaded with great shows ranging from movies, books, Marvel, and more. Join JT Rosero, Aaron George, and Chad Campbell for great shows on wrestling, comics, and more with the North-South Connection feed. Check out the histories of WWE, TNA, and other great wrestling topics and takes. Also, Glenn and Scott Butler are continuing their spectacular journey through music, films, and more on the Non-Toxic Fanboys podcast, where they try and enjoy the things they love. You can find them at Non-Toxic Fanboys on Twitter and subscribe anywhere, wherever you get your podcasts, the Place to Be Nation. Now, Mike, we come from the Gaylord Entertainment Center in Nashville, Tennessee. This is ECW, the August 8th edition in 2006. We start off with Mike Knox versus Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah, definitely, you know, just again to further the storyline more, to get Mike Knox over. I mean, it was what it was.
Yes, this was. I mean, it was basically a match to set up another match, so. But again, it enhances the story, as you said. So Knox quickly beats on Tommy Dreamer, a neck breaker to Knox, a clothesline to the outside by Tommy. Then he throws Mike into the steps, a DDT to Mike Knox. But then the Riot Squad pulls Tommy to the outside, and they beat him up. Knox actually hits his finisher for the win. I gave this, I actually gave it a star for some reason. I thought it was good.
I mean, to me, it was a half star. I understand where they're going, but we're now, what, 4 or 5 weeks into this? It's time to move it along.
That's a good point. I mean, I would also think that it's time for Mike to say either make it or break it, man. You know, you got to show that you can wrestle. If not, I mean, why are you here? And we're going to find out more about why Mike Knox is here as we move along also in this podcast journey.
Yes.
So Paul Heyman comes out. Paul Heyman and the Riot Squad look to damage Tommy even more. But Sandman comes out for the save. Paul Heyman then announces that it's going to be Sandman in a handicap match versus Knox and Test. So on Tommy's way out, while he's being helped to the back, Test gives a big boot to Tommy as he's walking out the door.
And, you know, that actually looked pretty nasty.
It did. I like that. Like, if you had to give someone a move and who did it the best, Test gave the best big boots, I would say.
Even better than Hulk?
Test made it look more tougher, you know? Like, get out of my way. I felt like Hulk did it for show, but Tess was, like, tough with it.
Yeah, and the difference is where Tess nowadays, or then, versus, you know, people of the 80s, is on how tall he was. I mean, now, and I'll just give Hogan an example. Hogan was tall, too, but he was amongst giants, you know?
Yeah.
You put up, you know, Tess against Dreamer, and, you know, it's just monstrous.
Yes, it is. So then a clothesline by Test, a Sandman, a diving elbow by Test, but it's missed. The Sandman hits Test and knocks with the cane. And since it wasn't Extreme Rules, Test and Mike Knox win by disqualification. I should have gave both of these a half star. I gave Tommy's match a star for some reason. I only gave this match a half a star, but that's only because it's by a disqualification. I don't like clean finishes, but I like a finish to the match.
Yeah. At this point, I was so ready. I was so done already. I gave it a half star, but it was just more of the same old, same old. And as we are going to talk about for the next few minutes, that might have been the highlight of the show up until the end.
Ah, so you're saying the Sandman caning both Mike Knox and Tess was the highlight so far, huh?
Yeah, and on to what's to come later in this episode.
Yeah.
It's just not good.
No, but I like the showing. What's to come. So now we have another Balls Mahoney promo. He says he loves ECW. It's balls to the walls. So we know where Balls Mahoney stands on this new ECW and ECW in general. It's so weird to see, like, a lot of these guys and knowing that they've passed on, such as Balls Mahoney and Test.
Yes.
I wouldn't say, like, I mean, Test was a shocker. Balls, it was like, this guy might be doing a lot of stuff. And Test's death was a lot more of a shocker to me than Balls Mahoney's death, I would say. No wrestling death is, like, you know, sadder than the other. Like, a lot of them are sad, but it's like they're doing a lot of damage to their bodies.
I mean, how is Sandman still alive?
I actually met him. I met him like 3 years ago, and it was really cool. And I met him, and then a couple hours later, he was sleeping by his autograph table. So now we have Kevin Thorne versus Al Snow. Al and Kevin both start punching each other. A huge clothesline by Kevin. A rib breaker to Al Snow. A neck breaker to Al Snow. And then the razor's edge. So Al Snow basically got no offense. This was a squash match, but you could have given Al Snow some offensive moves to make Kevin work for the win, but I think they're doing a great presentation on Kevin Thorne here too. And I thought the clothesline was brutal and everything Kevin did was brutal. This almost made me forget that he was Mordecai.
Now, see, the time Mordecai was on, I was away. I never saw Mordecai. Not that I can remember. But with Kevin Thorne here, I'm wondering if he was training with Snow. Again, like with Punk with Credible, I think Al Snow is good to, you know, to help get Thorne over. I gave this a star. You know, again, for the one-sidedness, I mean, you do got to have the squash matches. And maybe, you know, since Snow isn't a regular performer at this point here, it's good, again, because he is one of the trainers. So it was probably good to have him in there.
Yeah, I think maybe Al Snow still had OVW before it became Florida Championship Wrestling. Like, I mean, I know he has it now, but when it was under WWE's brand, I think he still had OVW. So Kevin could have popped up in OVW after the Mordecai gimmick and just got himself better. And here we are now.
Yeah.
So we get highlights of both Kurt Angle and Sabu of what they've done in ECW so far. It's good stuff. You know, you got Sabu doing the Arabian Facebuster to Cena and just beating up on Roadkill and everybody. And then, you know, Kurt Angle with Justin Credible and the Brooklyn Brawler. So, I mean, It is what it is. I mean, you know, Kurt's highlights are what Kurt's highlights are, you know? And then we get a Renee Dupree promo, Mike.
I mean, maybe it was a good thing for him. They probably had nothing left for him on the main roster. I mean, he was still young at, wasn't he like in his early 20s at this point?
I would say so. Like, he's got to be at least like 24, 25 here.
He was born in 83, so he was 23. Or he had been 22 because he was born in December, so he's still 22 years old.
Oh, wow. This guy is young here. And
just think of it. He'd be young on the WWE roster today.
Yeah, that's crazy. And it was 3 years ago that he was debuting and he won the WWE tag team titles with La Resistance.
Yep. Yeah, he debuted at the age of 18 in 2002.
Wow. So now the Big Show comes to the ring. He says he wants to add class and dignity to the ECW brand. As their ECW champion, he will crush Kurt Angle if he gets in his way, and will crush Sabu if he gets in his way. He also says that nobody can beat him. I thought it was a good promo, saying that Big Show is not going to let anybody beat him, and he will crush anybody that gets in his way. I thought it was a good promo. Mike, what'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, it was good. I mean, it was quick to the point. I mean, it was good to not see him in a match, finally. You know, I grew up in the 80s and with 80s wrestling and stuff. Even though we all love The Rock and Austin and stuff, the champion doesn't need to be on every show, does not need to wrestle every show.
No, he doesn't. So now we have Kurt Angle versus Sabu. It's a number one contenders match for Big Show's ECW title. A nice takedown by Kurt. A drop toe hold to Kurt by Sabu. Kurt goes right into the ring post, like his shoulder first. And then he gets thrown over the top rope onto the floor by Sabu. A tornado DDT by Sabu. But he only gets a two count. Sabu is dominating. I thought Sabu was dominating Angle here.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely setting up that way. Again, you know, who knows, you know, what was going on. Who knows how much WWE brass knew what was going on with Kurt, but it was definitely a surprise.
Indeed it was. So then we get a belly-to-belly suplex by Kurt. He counters on a fireman's carry to the outside to Sabu. A somersault leg drop by Sabu to Kurt Angle. A German suplex by Kurt. Drops Sabu on his head. Sabu counters an Angle slam with a drop kick and a diving drop kick to Kurt. So he does two drop kicks to Kurt Angle. A camel clutch countered into an ankle lock. So Sabu gets the camel clutch, and then Kurt Angle counters it. But then that sends Kurt Angle to the outside. A front flip over the top rope by Sabu. And then Sabu goes for a cross body splash by Sabu, but it gets countered into an ankle lock. So Kurt Angle thinks he is going to win this match by submission, but Rob Van Dam comes out. Rob Van Dam, who returns from a 30-day suspension by the WWE, makes his return here. There is no winner as the match is thrown out, but he hits Angle with a chair, and then he does a Van Daminator to Sabu. So he does his a leg drop chair shot, and then he does the Van Daminator as well to both competitors. I gave this match a star and a half. And just for the shock value, it was a great match too. And also the shock value of Rob Van Dam coming back and there being no clear winner was great.
Yeah, no, I would give it 2 stars. The back and forth was pretty good. I mean, Sabu dominating early, and then Angle going into beast mode. With RVD, I mean, you didn't even really think about it. You know, when you totally forgot almost. And I think ECW did a good job with that, you know, not making you, you know, think, oh, he's coming. So that way you don't expect it. And unfortunately, you know, for Kurt, this is his last WWE match for about, what, 13 years?
2006. Yeah, 10 years actually. 2016, 2017. So 11 years, yeah.
Yeah, so, and we can get more into that later, but, you know, it was
It was good for Rob Van Dam to come back. I would say so as well, Mike. This is, as we said, this is Kurt Angle's last wrestling match in ECW, and unfortunately, he's going to leave WWE as well, but we'll get there. It's coming soon. He does make one more final appearance on ECW in the next show that we're going to cover on our next episode. All in all, Mike, these two shows that we covered here tonight were really good. You know, it felt like a really good start for ECW. And I feel like this was a good, would you say it was a good turning point, Mike?
Yeah. Yes. Well, the first show was. The second show,
it took 2 steps back. Rob Van Dam saved it.
He saved it.
Yeah, let's go with that, Mike. It took 2 steps backwards. It went 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. That's how I would say it, Mike. How about you?
I agree.
Well, Mike, before we wrap up tonight's episodes of Extreme Resurrection, do you have anything that you would like to plug?
Well, this Wednesday, we will be recording the 90s trivia night. We've already, with our Andy Atherton and our good buddy out in Detroit there, we will be, sorry, Jordan. I don't know why I drew a blank there, but
Jordan Duncan.
We're going to be recording. We have three great contestants. So far, the trivia nights have gone pretty well. For those of you that have not heard the 80s show, I advise you to do so. It was probably one of the funniest nights I've had recording. So, and I believe
that's also because you weren't there. You weren't there for the Friends night either.
No, I did miss that.
Yeah, you missed that one. Calvin was hilarious on the Friends episode, but also check out the 80s episode too. And we're moving right along with this trivia contest. I mean, you get a title belt if you win, and I won the Harry Potter round, so I moved on to the semifinals.
Yes, and I think it'll be a good showdown coming up.
Yeah, no, hopefully we get some studying time. Also, Mike, I have to plug something else that I'm doing on the Place to Be Pop feed, or the Place to Be Pop experience. I am doing a Pop Goes the Couch series with our good friend John D'Amato, John Arsenio D'Amato, as he likes to call himself. We're reviewing episode by episode of the new Mighty Ducks Game Changer. So by the time this airs, we will be having our second episode being dropped. We recorded the first one last Saturday. That's being dropped tomorrow on Tuesday. So as you're hearing this, episode one will be dropped and episode two will be dropped. The new Mighty Ducks Game Changers TV series for the Place to Be Nation, Pop Goes the Couch. Well, that about wraps it up here on Extreme Resurrection. I'm James Gruenberg. He's Michael Cook. And we will see you next time for more Extreme Resurrection.
Trouble, you're gonna see that your words are dangerous, your talk is cheap, so now I'm standing